Hey, good morning, everybody. Good vach. Parshas Baloscha is a packed parsha with a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss. I want to start in the middle of the parsha, and if you take a look, the famous two nuns, the inverted nuns, is what I really want to begin to focus on, to discuss, and to try to understand. If you take a look in the Stone Chumash on page 786, the two famous psukim, which we all know very, very well, from when we take out the Sefer Torah, Vayhi bin Soa Ha'aron v'yomer Moshe, Kum Hashem v'yafutza ivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, when the Aron would move, when the Luchos HaBris would move with the Aron in them, we would recite, Kum Hashem v'yafutza ivecha v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, our enemies would run away, uvenucha yomar, and when the Aron would be in its resting position, Shuva Hashem, Rivavos Alpha Yisrael. That is the statement which was recited. Reside tranquilly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the myriads and the thousands of Israel. So these are the two psukim. Psukim Lamed Hei and Lamed Vav. The last two psukim in chapter 10 in Perek Yud of Sefer Bamidbar. And of course, Rashi quoting Chazal notes that these psukim are completely out of place. These two psukim do not belong here. If you take a look in Rashi, Rashi makes the comment that this is the reason why there are inverted nuns. The two nuns that you see are not the regular shaped formation of a nun, but they're rather inverted. And Rashi says, because these two psukim don't really belong here. This is talking about the formation and the standing and the movement of the Aron. This really belongs either in one of two places, at the end of Sefer Shmos, when the Mishkan is being erected, when the Mishkan is being established, or it belongs earlier in Chumash Bamidbar, when Klal Yisrael are actually traveling, or talk about it when the Mishkan was inaugurated, what would happen. But what is these two psukim doing right here, right now? So Rashi explains two things, quoting from the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tes Vav and Kuf Tes Zayin, Asa lo siman milafanav me'achrav, we place a note, a nun, an inverted nun, before and after these two psukim. Lomar she'ein zeh mekomo. So the Torah is already telling us that this is not the appropriate place for these two psukim. It doesn't belong here. V'lama nechtav kan. So why indeed are they written here? Kedei lahafsik ben puranios lepuranios. Dafka, these two psukim are placed here to separate between two very, very, very painful, difficult, tragic events, which we will discuss. And this is what the Gemara says. Now, the Rashi doesn't quote the rest of the Gemara, but the Gemara says and quotes based upon these two nuns that they're not really five chumashim. It's not really Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, but there really are seven chumashim. How does it work out to have seven? Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Dvarim is four. Bamidbar is rather split into half. The first half up until the nun, the second half after the nun, and this two psukim are its own section, are its own chumash. So the Gemara says in the pasuk, chatzvu amodeha shiva, that there really are seven chamishim, seven torahs, as opposed to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the five books of Moshe that we are typically familiar with. The Gemara says that arguably you could say that there really are seven. Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Dvarim are four. Bamidbar itself is four Chumashim, up until the Nun, after the Nun, and these two Psukim are their own part, or their own Chumash completely. What I'd like to try to understand today is further. What's going on here? What's the story with these two nuns? Why the inverted nuns? And what's the significance of that which the Gemara tells us, that there really are three chumashim in Sefer Bamidbar for a total of seven books of Moshe? What's the status of Sefer Bamidbar? What is Sefer Bamidbar all about? What happens with these change in nuns? What are these puranios? What are these tragic incidences that we are talking about? And really, what is taking place in Parshas Bahaloscha? What I'd like to do this morning is share with you a commentary of the Netziv, Rav Neftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the famed Rosh Yeshiva of the Volozhin Yeshiva, and the great commentary he wrote on Chumash, the Amek Hamek Dover. Now, in each of his introductions, he writes to each of his chamisha chumshei Torah, to Bereishis Shmos Vayikra B'Midbar and Dvarim, the Netziv really gives us the yesod, the foundations of each of the chumashim, and in Sefer Bamidbar is no different. And the Netziv writes that these two psukim and these two nuns really are critical in terms of understanding all of Sefer Bamidbar. And he says as follows. If you're learning Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar, Naso Bahaloscha, you get the impression very clearly that Klal Yisrael is climbing, is reaching the apex and the pinnacle of reaching Eretz Yisrael. Let's go through the history just a little bit. Bnei Yisrael, they leave Mitzrayim. They are privy to the Aseres HaMakos. They see the final of the Makos, Makos Bechoros. They leave Egypt in a miraculous way. Ultimately, 7 days later is Kriyas Yamsuf. Following Kriyas Yamsuf is Matan Torah. The Jewish people enter the Midbar, and they're privy to the incredible miracles of the Be'er, the Mun, the Slav, the Anane HaKavod, which we'll read about in this parasha. Everything is picture perfect. Klal Yisrael is reaching the point that Kadosh Baruch Hu promised them and promised to Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe was first appeared to, when God first appeared to Moshe. And Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Kishotseisa esa'am azeb mitzrayim, tavdun es alokim, alaharza, when you leave Egypt, you're going to worship God on the mountain. And when you get to the mountain, when you reach Har Sinai, that's not the end, because from there you will travel to Eretz Yisrael. So we have pivoted ourselves perfectly. We are ready, set, and going to Eretz Yisrael. Everything seems to be just picture perfect. And with that, you reach Parshas Bahaloscha. And take a look and go to the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha, and you'll see the scenery. And the picture is just perfect. Everything is exactly where it needs to be. If you open up Parshas Bahaloscha, Perek Ches, chapter 8, Psukim Aleph through Dalet, is about the menorah. Everything is being established. The menorah is being set up and is being placed into the Mishkan. Now, often when you read Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, and you go from Parsha to Parsha, often it gets disjointed and you don't see the flow. But when you learn and study Sefer Bamidbar, you need to appreciate that Sefer Bamidbar is really piggybacking on Sefer Shmos. Sefer Vayikra is somewhat of a delay in the halachas that have to be stated for the Kohanim and for the Mishkan. But Bamidbar is the continuity of Sefer Shmos. So if you're learning Sefer Shmos and you reach the end of Sefer Shmos after Yitzias Mitzrayim, from Parshos Bamidbar, from Parshos Shmos, Va'era and Bo, it's all about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Bishalach and Yisro is about Kabbalah Satorah. Truma, Tetzave, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekudeh is all about the Mishkan. Close the Mishkan, and from the Mishkan we move to Sefer Vayikra, we're moving to the Midbar. So we're now in the Midbar. And in the Midbar, what takes place is Klal Yisrael's climb to reach Eretz Yisrael. And of course, we get into the Midbar, we receive the Torah, and then what happens here in Parshas Bamidbar, Kadosh Baruch Hu counts the nation. The census takes place. Parshas Naso is the consecration of the Kohanim and the Levim. So there is a constant flow moving from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, ultimately the Mishkan being planted in the Midbar, headed to Eretz Yisrael. And after that, if you take a look in Perek Ches Psukim Hey, Vav, Zayin, Ches, and Tes, is the consecration of the Levium, which we just noted. That Moshe Rabbeinu is told by God to take the Levium and to be Metahir the Levium, to consecrate the Levium. And that's what takes place in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Bahaloscha, in Perek Ches, all the way down to Psukim Chav Gimel and Chav Dalet. And if you continue toward the beginning of Perek Tes, you start to see the offering of the Pesach Sheni. And the Pesach Sheni was only brought because of the fact that the Jewish people wanted more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, page 778, Vayidaber Shem Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shana hashenis l'tzeisa me'aretz Mitzrayim b'chodesh harishon lemor. So here we are, in the second year, in the second month. So although we laned Parshas Yisro months ago, and Sefer Shmos seems to be very much in the rear view, really all that has happened is 1 year since the Exodus. 1 year since Yetzias Mitzrayim. So here we are, Bashana Hashenis, in the second year of the Exodus, Bachodesh Harishon Lemor. So we're only 12 months away from Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Kabbalah Satorah, of course, was after that. So we're less than a year from receiving the Torah. We're exactly a year from the Exodus. And what happens? We bring the Korban Pesach again. Vayasu b'nei Yisrael sa Pesach b'moado. Be'arba'a sar yom b'chodesh hazeh b'in arba'im. So we're 12 months exactly to the date of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Jewish people bring the Korban Pesach. However, Vayidaber Moshe b'nei Yisrael asos ha-Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe to tell the people to offer the Korban Pesach 1 year out. The Jewish people do exactly what they are supposed to do. And then comes the famous story that Jews who were unable to bring the Korban Pesach, either because they were too far away from the Mishkan, or because they were Tamei, they didn't have the ritual purity, say that we also want to bring the Korban Pesach. And Moshe doesn't know what should be done. He asks God, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and tells Bnei Yisrael in Pasuk Yud, Daber al Bnei Yisrael lemor ish ish ki ye tamei lanefesh obederech rechok alechem, olu doroso lechem v'asa Pesach Shem. Absolutely, positively, this is the halacha, this is the mitzvah called Pesach Sheni, to bring a second korban in a situation where you don't have the opportunity to bring it at the right time. So everything is going picture perfect, perfectly. Everything is working exactly the way it's supposed to be done. We're in the Midbar. We're a year away from Yetzias Mitzrayim. We receive the Torah. The encampment is perfect. We're surrounding the Shekhinah. Klal Yisrael are set up. The Kohanim do what they do. The Levim are doing what they are supposed to do. Klal Yisrael is doing exactly what they are supposed to do. They ask and they want more, because if they can't bring a Korban Pesach, they say, we want to bring a Korban Pesach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, absolutely. And if you continue in Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, in Perek Tes, chapter 9, the beautiful Psukim talking about the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory. Pasuk Tezvav, Yom Hakim Es HaMishkan, Kisa HaAnan Es HaMishkan, the cloud of glory covered the Mishkan. Uva erev yala mishkan kemara eish ad boker, in the evening it would be a flame of fire. Kain yes samid ha'anin yechasenu mara eish laila, the clouds of glory would protect the Jewish people in the day, and the flames, the fire, would protect the Jewish people in the evening. Unbelievable. We had everything we needed, not just the be'er full of water, not just the slav, the meat to eat, not just the mun, which tasted like anything, not just the Torah which we had, not just the perfect encampment, but we also had these beautiful clouds of glory and the esh, the flame of fire in the evening. And the Torah goes on to tell us the beautiful psukim, how the clouds of glory would protect the people, would walk and would travel with the Jewish people, covering, taking care of them, cloaking over them, protecting the Jewish people wherever they would be in the Midbar. Again, everything was picture perfect. Take a look at the last pasuk. Pasuk Chav Gimel. In Perek Tes, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Val Pi Hashem Yisu. Based upon God, where the Jewish people camp, based upon the Jewish people, based upon the clouds, where the Jewish people move. Es Mishmeres Hashem Shamru, Al Pi Hashem Biar Moshe. The Jewish people would follow and would safeguard everything it was that God told Moshe. So again, Klal Yisrael are doing exactly what is supposed to happen. It seems that the schedule and the track to enter the land of Israel is perfect. And then Perek Yud, you read about the chatzotzrots, the trumpets. Vayidaber Shem Moshe lemar, Aseh lecha shtei chatzotzrots. Establish these two trumpets, kesef, out of silver. Mikshe ta'aseh osam. Hayu lecha lemikra edel maaseh samachnos. We're doing everything exactly right. The chatzotzrots are going to be built. They're going to be established in order to travel with the people to tell us when to go and when to stop, when to camp and when not to. When there's a war, we need the trumpets. When there's a happy holiday, v'yom simchaschem v'fumuadechem, pasuk yud, uv'roshe choshechem. On these 3 days, you're going to blow the chatzotzrots. So again, we receive the Chatzotzot. We have the Anane HaKavod. Pesach Sheni has been established. The Kohanim and the Levim have been consecrated. Everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be. And it continues the Torah. Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayhi Bashana HaSheni Bachodesh HaSheni Be'esrim Bachodesh. So here we are. Keep the chronology. We are in year 2, right? We had Pesach Sheni, which was Yud Daled Iyar of year 2. And now we're just a month and a few days later. We're in the second year of the Midbar. On the 20th day, Na'ale ha'anan me'al ha'mishkan, the anan was lifted from on top of the Mishkan. And when the anan is lifted, that means the Jewish people are going to move. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael l'maseihem, mi'midbar Sinai, vayishkon ha'anan b'midbar Paran. We travel and we move. And here the Torah tells us about the travel and the encampment. And we move from Psukim Yud Beis to Chavtes. And here comes a pasuk where Moshe Rabbeinu tells his father-in-law, we are about to enter the land of Israel. Pasuk Chavtes. Vayomer Moshe, lechove ben Reuel hamidyani chosein Moshe. Here it is, the most powerful, beautiful pasuk where Moshe is telling his father-in-law, inviting him to come with him to the land of Israel. Nosim anachnu ala makom asher amar Hashem oso etein lachem. Moshe tells his father-in-law, here we are, we're ready to go. We left Egypt. We saw the Makos. We crossed the Yamsuf. We received the Torah. The Kohanim and the Levim have been consecrated. Pesach Sheni has occurred. We've established the Chatzotzot and the Menorah. Everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be. We have completed our mission in Chutz Laretz. We are, the diaspora, the Gullus is behind us. The Shibur Mitzrayim is behind us. No sim anachnu ala makom asher amar Hashem otzo etein lachem. We are going to the place, to the land that God has promised us. Lecha itanu veheitavnu lach ki Hashem diver tovo. So why don't you travel with us, says Moshe to his father. Come with us. We're going to the land of Israel. This is the place that we've been waiting for forever and ever. This is the promised land. This is what God has told us it is meant for the Jewish people. Vayomrei lav, and Yisro responds, Lo eilech, I don't need to go with you. Ki emel artzi vel molareti eilech, I'm traveling back to my place of abode, back to my country of origin, back to Midian. Vayomrei Moshe says to them, Al nata zovosan, don't leave us. Ki al ken yadata chonosein ba midbar yisalan elaynayim. We need you. You have been such a wonderful partner to us. You have been our eyes in the Midbar. And Moshe tries to encourage him to continue to travel with him. And ultimately, of course, Yisro does not travel. And then all of a sudden, Pasuk Lamedalet V'anan Hashem Alem Yomam Benasim Min HaMachaneh, and come the inverted nuns. So here it is. We're back to where we began. We started wondering, questioning, asking, what are these two nuns doing here? The inverted nuns. And I mentioned the explanation of the Gemara quoted by Rashi, that it's coming to separate between puranios, between trials and tribulations, between challenges, tragedies. It seems that there's anything but tragedy. But all of Sefer Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar are speaking about climbing a ladder, reaching Eretz Yisrael. We're just about there. We've done everything we're supposed to do. This explains all of the first half of Parshas Bahaloska, from the consecration of the Levim to the menorah, to the encampment, to Pesach Sheni, to the Chatzotzot. Everything is where it's supposed to be. And then ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu tells his father-in-law Yisrael, we're ready to travel, we're ready to go. But if you take a look, everything all of a sudden changes. Everything falls apart. There's a total breakdown. Because if you take a look immediately after the inverted nuns, what happens? Vayhi ha'am kimis onanim. Rab oznashem. The people began to complain bitterly, terribly, evil in the eyes of Hashem. Vayishma Hashem, and God hears. Vayichar apo, and God gets angry. Vativra from Eish Hashem atocha b'kzei machane, and a fire, a flame burns in the camp. Vayitzak amal Moshe, the people cry to Moshe. Vispal Moshe l'Hashem, and they cry to Hashem. Vatishka Eish, and the fire is subsumed and is calms down. But then the Torah continues. Vahasafsuf Asher b'kirbo hisavu taivo, and Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Daled, the Asafsuf begin to complain bitterly and mightily. They want meat. They remember the vegetables, the fruits, the fish of Egypt. What happens? All of a sudden, a total breakdown, anarchy. The people are falling apart. We were on our way to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe invites his father-in-law, tells him we're going to the land that God has promised us. And in a matter of moments, in the Parsha that speaks to the great march heading to Eretz Yisrael, everything all of a sudden falls apart. What happened? The people complain. They're looking back at what was in Egypt. They're looking to the food, to the vegetables, the fruit and the fish, and to the meat. There's a flame, there's a fire, the misonanim, the asafsuf. And it continues to get even worse and worse. Because what happens in next week's Parsha Shlach are, of course, are the Meraglim. And after the Meraglim, it's Balak and it's Bilam. It's Dasan, Ve'aviram, it's Korach. All of a sudden, the rest of Sefer Bamidbar, the end of the book of Bamidbar, becomes a book of tragedy, becomes a book of challenges, becomes a book of difficulty. So in year one, as we've pivoted ourselves to enter the land of Israel, and we are prepared, piggybacking on Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, and perfection in year one in the Midbar, all of a sudden, there's total breakdown and anarchy until ultimately in next week's Parsha, Parsha Shlach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that as a result of the wish, the desire to send Miraglim, to send the spies into the land of Israel, we're going to be punished with 39 years, 40 years total in the Midbar, and then ultimately the rest of Sefer Bamidbar becomes a book of tragedy, of challenges, of difficulties, of trial and tribulation. And of course, the question we need to ask, and what we need to understand, and this is what we will try to uncover this morning, is what happened? What went wrong? How could this shift that's so dramatic and so stark and so obvious, that these two nuns come to tell us that there's a separation, a divide, so much so that it's almost two chumashim. You can't just look at Sefer Bamidbar as one book. It's a different book. Because the first half of Sefer Bamidbar, Naso Bahalosecha, is all happy, is all an upward climb. It's a climb to reach Eretz Yisrael. And then all of a sudden, the complaints, the misonanim, the asafsof, the Meraglim, and piggybacking on that, Korach understands and takes advantage of the internal conflict that takes place after the Meraglim, sees that the Jewish people are divided and they are having and expressing differences of opinion. And when Korach understands that there's division in Klal Yisrael, that's going to be when he can attack. And that's when Dasan and Aviram came. And that's when Balak and Bilam come. And therefore, we see these two separate books within Sefer Bamidbar. How are we to understand this? So what I'd like to do this morning is present to you the position, the opinion, the understanding of the Netziv. And the Netziv throughout Sefer Bamidbar expresses this thought and this idea and this concept. I'll share with you what he writes in his psicha, in his introduction to Sefer Bamidbar, along with some sprinkling of his ideas throughout the Parshios and Sefer Bamidbar, but he has a mashal. He explains with a parable in Parshas Chukas, where he says as follows. When a mother begins to recognize that it's time for her to stop nursing, so she doesn't just wean the child cold turkey, but the mother slowly begins to feed her child other foods. Because she recognizes you can't just automatically switch an about face and change from nursing to feeding overnight. Because that is going to create a total confusion for the child. You're going from world A to world B. It's an impossibility. That's not something that's feasible. It's dangerous physically. It's dangerous emotionally. It's dangerous psychologically. There needs to be slowly introduce the child to food. Whatever those foods are, it depends on the generation. But, you know, you go from basic breads, you go from vegetables, whatever it is. But the mother begins to supplement the feedings that she has given this child for X amount of months was starting to introduce certain foods. And the certain foods will be able to transition the child and will allow the mother to wean from nursing her child because it can't just happen overnight and she can't stop overnight. But slowly, if she begins to introduce these different foods, then it'll become more natural for her to stop nursing. The Netziv explains that this is what's happening psychologically and emotionally to the Jewish people in the Midbar. The Jewish people, from the moment that they experienced the Geula in Yetzias Mitzrayim, when they saw the Aseres HaMakos, when they experienced Kriyas Yamsuf, when they witnessed Matan Torah, when they were privy to the miracles of the Anane HaKavod, which we just read about in the Parsha, the Slav, the Mun, the Be'er, the Chatzrotzot's perfection, they were living in the world kaviyachal of nursing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there was an incredible ability that the Jewish people had to connect to God in a very, very obvious way. with panim tzahavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us his face in a very, very real and a very open way. And God, kaviyachol, was nursing us, was taking care of us. And we were HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children being taken care of behanhaga nisis, in a miraculous way, in a very basic way, in the way that was so clear, where the Jewish people had no questions, no ifs, ands, or buts. But God understood that the world can't live like this forever. And the Jewish people can't continue like this forever. And there's going to come a time and a place where my promise is going to come to fruition, that the Jewish people are going to enter the land of Israel. And there, they're going to till the soil. They're going to sow the land. They're going to have to work. And it's not just going to be the world of the Be'er, the Slav, the Mon, the Anane HaKavod. But the Jewish people are going to have to pick up their hands and their feet, and they're going to have to work. And there's going to be this transition from Hanhaga Nisis to Hanhaga Tivis. There's going to be a transition from the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is operating the world and operating with us, and functioning with the Jewish people, and moving from this miraculous to the mundane, to the supernatural, to the normal. And this transition, God said, has to come the same way that a nursing mother transitions from nursing her child to feeding her child. It can come overnight. But I slowly have to introduce the people to a new world order. I have to introduce the Jewish people to a new way that we are going to operate, to a new way that we are going to communicate. Because we need to move into Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, although, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows himself, Mereishi Sashana Racher Sashana, from day till night, and from morning till noon. But there needs to be a different mode of communication operation. There's not going to be the Be'er. There's not going to be the Slav. There's not going to be this relationship the way it is in the Midbar. Therefore, we have to change. And this sudden change causes Klal Yisrael great pain and great difficulty. And it's very hard to leave this cocoon the same way it's hard for a child to stop nursing. The challenge is awesome. No child wants to stop nursing. It's easy. It's perfect. The temperature is great. Everything you need is there. I don't need to open my mouth too much. I don't need to work too hard. But there is something that's so perfect about it. The same relationship that the Jewish people had with God in the Midbar, where it was perfection, where it's absolutely everything that they needed without any ifs, ands, or buts. They didn't have to do anything. They were taken care of in the rain. They were taken care of in the sun. They were protected from the enemy. There was never, ever any issue. The food they were given, the clothes they were given, the protection they were given, the solace they were given, physical needs, emotional needs were completely taken care of. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make this drastic change. And as the change began to be implemented, the Jewish people struggled. And they were unwilling and unable to move from the world of Hanhaga Nisis to the world of Hanhaga Tivis. They were unable to move to the world of the miraculous to the world of the mundane. They were unable to move from the supernatural to the mundane to the natural. And thus we begin to see these changes that take place in Sefer Bamidbar. We go from Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Mishkan. We go from the Anane HaKavod to the Be'er to the Slav. And that ends the first half of Sefer Bamidbar with the inverted Nun, because we're looking back this way. And when we looked back, everything was supernatural. But you look in the direction to heading to Eretz Yisrael, it no longer had that. And that was the change that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to implement slowly. Just like the nursing mother has to introduce the food slowly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced them to certain basics that they needed to be prepared for. But they fought it. Just like the child fights eating in the beginning, and the child wants to continue nursing, the Jewish people fought God. They didn't want to leave the supernatural. They didn't want to leave the miraculous. And that is the reason why these are really two books. Sefer Bamidbar is not one book, but it's two books. And the first half of the book is our climb, the triumphant march to Eretz Yisrael, which all of a sudden stopped because Klal Yisrael were unprepared, unwilling to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael the way that Hashem wanted them to enter. They wanted to enter with the Anane HaKavod and the Slav and the Man. They wanted to continue the Midbar in Eretz Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, they're two different tracks. They're two different places and points in history. The Midbar is the miraculous. The Midbar is where there's going to be the world of open miracles, the world of Gilui Shechino, the world of Gilui Panim. But when you enter Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be a land where there's more Hester Panim. There's more of a hidden relationship between me and you. It's not going to be as obvious. You're not just going to see water and wells. You're going to have to build wells. You're not just going to find vegetables and fruit and fish and meat like you had in the Midbar and like you had in Mitzrayim. You're going to have to plant. You're going to have to till the soil. You're going to have to build homes and houses and huts and plant. It's going to be a different relationship. I'm still with you. The same way the mother is still with the child even after she nurses. But it's a different relationship. And I need to introduce you to this different relationship slowly and carefully. But they were unwilling, unprepared. And thus the reason for the challenges and the crying and the fighting. Just like the child kicks and screams and throws a temper tantrum when the mother no longer wants to nurse. Klal Yisrael too, the misonanim, the asafsuf. And that's the story of the miraglim. The Miraglim, they're not fighting God, but they're fighting the new relationship. Because in a miraculous relationship, what should happen is you just enter the land of Israel without any questions, ifs, ands, or buts. But Klal Yisrael understood that we're changing the relationship. And when you change the relationship, we need to understand what we're getting into. And thus they send Miraglim into Eretz Yisrael to make sure that they're prepared and they're ready. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll take care of you. You need to trust me. You need to believe me. But if that's what you need, if that's where you are, so Moshe says, Shlach lecha ledaitcha. If that's what you need, that's okay. And thus they enter Eretz Yisrael, and the 12 Miraglim enter Eretz Yisrael. But they come back with a report, and the way they understand the report is something that they're unwilling. And it's untenable. It's not something that they can handle, that they can manage, that they can live with. And therefore the breakdown, and thus the punishment that Hashem says, you need more time in the Midbar. You need a longer amount of time to nurse. You're not prepared to separate from your mother yet. You need more time with me, and you need more time to transition, and you need more time to be prepared to enter Eretz Yisrael. And I need to bring you some of the challenges of the Hanhag Etivis into the Midbar. And thus in year 39, Klal Yisrael have war with Sichon and with Edom. Because Hashem says that was supposed to happen in the land of Israel. But if you need preparation to live the life that you are going to live in Eretz Yisrael in the Midbar, then slowly but surely I'm going to bring the enemy to you in the Midbar so you can learn how to fight. You can learn how to pick up armor. You can learn how to defend yourselves. And you need to learn and you need to understand how to divest yourself from the relationship that we have in terms of the miraculous, in terms of the supernatural, and need to begin to understand how to relate to me in a different way. Allow me to read you the words of the Netziv. It's a few short sentences in his introduction, where he really puts this down in a very, very powerful way. And again, as I mentioned, the Netziv throughout his commentary to Sefer Bamidbar really uses this as the key to understanding this entire Sefer Bamidbar, the transition of the people from the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael and the challenge that the people had in accepting it. He writes, V'hanira, d'alpi zeh hakavana, based upon my explanation, Amru Chazal, the rabbis explained, B'shabes tav kuf tezvav, ahi bin soa ha'aron, the two psukim that we began with, Sefer Bifnei Atzmo, is its own book. Lelamdeinu, to teach us, Ba'asher ki haschalas hashinoi, the beginning of the change, the transition, Hayamin vayhi ha'am kimis onanim. Immediately after the nun, that pasuk, Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Aleph, that's where the change begins. Everything is picture perfect. Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Bamidbar, Naso, Baloscha. Everything is awesome. Moshe Rabbeinu tells his father, Lo Yisro, here we go. We're going to the land of Israel. Come with us. And all of a sudden, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, it crumbles. It falls apart. The castle crumbles. The beginning of the change in the Midbar, in year 2, month 2, after the 20th of the month, after Pesach Sheni, the people begin to complain. Ki bishvil shehisnahagu b'midas tiferes. Because they were living in the supernatural, in the miraculous world. Ne'enshu miyad achar shechatu. They were punished because they had everything that they needed. They received God's face. They received the miracles of the Kriyas Yamsuf of Matan Torah. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the man, and Hashem says, I've given you everything. I'm preparing you. The transition should be a natural one. Ki hayatzel ha-hashkach al yad yaminam, Hashem's presence was hovering over them. The anane ha-kavod protected them. V'davar zeh hayakasha aleihem lispol. They couldn't manage. They couldn't handle this change. They couldn't accept this change in the relationship from the miraculous and supernatural to the mundane and to the ordinary. They couldn't accept it. At shigaram l'shloach miraglim, until this forced them to send the spies. Kasher yivu reish parsha shlach, like he says, he explains in the beginning of parsha shlach. Umizeh says the Netziv, nishtalshel v'holach at shigia lezeh hashinui kasher yivu hasham, until ultimately the end of Sefer Bamidbar, following these nuns, going from Korach to Balak to Bilam to fighting with Sichon and the Amori, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, the breakup and of Dasan ve'Aviram, the divide and the division between those two nations. That is what we're talking about. Vimkein Parsha Zukitana. Therefore, these two psukim, this small parsha of Ahibin Sahara, and these two psukim, he hamechalekas bein shnei ofani halichos Yisrael, speak to a division in terms of two ways that the Jewish people connected to God. Up until Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bahaloschas, then Haganesis is the miraculous. And up until then, everything was headed in the perfect trajectory, pivoting ourselves perfectly to enter the land of Israel. However, when that ends with the pasuk Vayhi Ha'am Kimisonim, the inverted nuns, at shekol chelek echad min hasefer hu sefer bifnei atzmo. It's for that reason that really you don't have five chumashim, you have seven. Because the first half of Bamidbar is its own sefer. The second half of Bamidbar after the nuns is its own sefer. Kmo zeh ha-hiluch hu sefer bifnei atzmo, v'zeh ha-hiluch hu sefer bifnei atzmo. So Bamidbar really is two separate chumashim, because the Jewish people show themselves in two different ways as a Kadosh Baruch Hu tries to slowly, carefully transition the Jewish people to be able to be prepared for this change in relationship. And Klal Yisrael were unable to, unwilling to. It's something that they felt was untenable. They would have lived a life with God in the Midbar forever. That's what it seems to be their interests are. They're happy with the Anane HaKavod. They're happy with the Chatzotzrotz. They're happy with the Pesach Sheni. They're happy with the concentration on the Kohanim and the Levim. They're satisfied in the Midbar. They have the Torah. They left Mitzrayim. They saw Kriyas Yamsuf. Let's just stay in the Midbar. We have such a deep, open relationship with God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. He gives us the man, the bear, the slav, the anan, the... What else do we need already? We're very happy. We're cuddling with God. We're nursing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't want to get up. I don't want to grow older. I'm happy like it is. I don't want to have to take a spoon and a fork and a knife and to cut my own food. I don't want to have to do laundry. I don't want to have to leave the house. I have all my meals taken care of. I have everything that I need set up for me. But Hashem says, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The way it's supposed to be is you're supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael, like Moshe Rabbeinu told his father-in-law. You're supposed to be in the land. You're supposed to fight. You're supposed to use a fork and a knife and a spoon. You're supposed to do your laundry. You're supposed to have a relationship with me, not the way that the relationship is in the Midbar. There's supposed to be a relationship where you need to find me and where I will reveal myself to you on those terms. And you'll enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. You'll bring the Mishkan with you. You'll till the soil. You'll take out Amalek. The other Shiva Amamim is a responsibility to remove them from the land of Eretz Yisrael. You're going to get rid of Avodah Zarah. You're going to show aggression, and you're going to show strength, force, and fervor to be able to accomplish the mitzvos and the Torah that I gave you in the Midbar, to bring it to Eretz Yisrael, and to bring it into the world, and to teach people, and to be an Or LaGoyim, because you can't stay in the Midbar forever. You can't stay nursing forever. And this, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, is what he's telling Bnei Yisrael, and this is what Moshe is marching them with. And the march is headed in the right direction. And all of a sudden, it's halted. It stops. Midway. Close. We're so close. Days away. as Rashi tells us in Sefer Devarim, we're 11 days away from entering Eretz Yisrael. Yisrael is told that we're there, and it stops because Klal Yisrael unwilling, unready, unprepared, and thus they send the Meraglim, and thus the punishment of 40 more years. But although it's a punishment, it's not just a punishment, it's really an educational tool that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given Klal Yisrael to teach us and to train us that we need more time. We need more years. We need more days. We need more time in the cocoon to prepare us to enter Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send us certain challenges, including Balak, including Bilam, including Korach, including the Reish Nonish, including Dasan Ve'aviram, including a debate and division of Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe with all of the rest of the tribes. So there's going to be a lot of work that's going to take place in these final years in the Midbar. But that's what the Jewish people need. That's what they are able to accept. And thus, the punishment. Thus, the final 40 years in the Midbar taking us into Eretz Yisrael for this very reason. What emerges here, according to the Netziv, is something else that's critically important. And that is to understand our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that which the Dor HaMidbar was unwilling to do, unwilling to change and to transition, needs to be understood by each and every single Jew and each and every single Jewish community and each and every single generation. From the moment that we crossed the sea and received the Torah and entered the Midbar, those were years of Gilui Shechina. There were years and there were generations of Nevuah. There were years and there were generations of prophets, of Nevi'im and Nevi'os. There was the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. There was Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi. But at certain points in Jewish history, that comes to an end, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the relationship needs to be changed. Moshe Kibel Tarmisina Masar Yoshua Yeshua's Kenim is Kenim Levi and Levi Anshei Knesset HaGdola. There are changes in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The farther we are away from Matan Torah, the more drastic and dramatic the change becomes. But it's our responsibility in every generation to understand and to appreciate how we relate to God. In the Midbar, you relate to God in the open, with the Gilui Shechina. And it's for that reason when the Jewish people did something wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, how can you do this? I'm relating to you in an open, miraculous way. You're going to kvetch, you're going to complain, you're going to argue with me, you're going to tell me that you want vegetables and fruit, you want water, you want food, you're going to hit the rock when you're supposed to speak to the rock. It doesn't make sense. That's not the relationship. The relationship is a miraculous one. And then Hashem says that when you enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be a very different relationship. And therefore, each generation needs to understand and to appreciate what and how our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And our relationship in this generation, of course, and for, unfortunately, hundreds and hundreds of years since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, is a relationship with Hashem of Hester Panim, where we don't see God clearly, where it's our job to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's through Tefillah, that's through Talmud Torah, it's through Chesed. But we don't have the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way that the Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim had it. We don't have the relationship with God the way the generation of the Mekablei Torah had it. We don't have the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the Dor HaMidbar had it. Our relationship is a more hidden one, is a more distant one, is a Hester Panim. And thus our relationship with Hashem has to be understood in that regard. And just like in any relationship that one has, be it familial or a professional relationship, there are differences in terms of how you relate to that person or to that individual or to that group. The same thing is true in our relationship with Hashem. In order for it to be productive and effective, we need to understand how the relationship is built. And this was really the great challenge that the Dor HaMidbar had, this transition. And every transition is difficult, but specifically the transition from leaving the Midbar to entering Eretz Yisrael is one of these drastic, drastic and dramatic changes that caused such confusion and such a strong sense of misunderstanding of what it was that was happening. Bnei Yisrael understood that HaKadosh Baruch was simply leaving them and was uninterested in them. But of course that wasn't the case, as the Netziv explains. It was simply a transition from the Hanhaga Nisis to the Hanhaga Tivis. And this is the challenge that Bnei Yisrael had, and this is the reason for the longer stay in the Midbar. And this, according to the Netziv, explains the reason for the inverted nuns and why it is that these are separate Sfarim. The first half and the second half, and the movement and the change, this is the approach of the Netziv to Sefer Bamidbar.